What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Friday, May 8th, 2020. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside the OK Beast Blessing Adeoye Jr.
What's up, Greg? How's it going?
I'm having a great day. Everything's going fine. How's it going with you, Bless?
It's going pretty well. Congratulations on the Batman comic. It's exciting.
Thank you.
News.
Yeah. Me and Gary Whitta finally got to announce this morning that we wrote a story for the upcoming Joker 80th anniversary issue. Super spectacular. That's out. You can find it over at kindoffunny.com/Joker. If you don't know what we're talking about, we put up a video announcing and showing the first two pages from our comic. We wrote a DC comic. Very exciting. Very awesome. Obviously, a lifelong dream for me. Blessing. So yeah,
I'm sure you get into this in the video, but like, how long has this been in the making?
It's not as long as you think. We debated a little bit about it. I'm fairly certain it was the first day of your employment with Kinda Funny, where it was we were doing the stream and he came in to do stuff with us, and we went in the back room and he's like, hey, I got approached by DC Comics to write this Joker story for the Joker 80th anniversary, and I was getting ready for him to be like, I'm doing it, here's my pitch, yada yada. Instead he was like, do you want to do it with me? And I was totally blown away. And so we went and got breakfast, and then it was one of those things where it was late in the game where they'd already announced some of the other people. So Gary came in and said that we grabbed breakfast the next week, and it was like a 3-hour long breakfast where we just laid out the entire thing and pitched lines and did all this stuff, pitched to DC. They said yes. And so yeah, then this, you know, like, obviously, of course, there's a million other problems with the world and the pandemic and everything else. This was supposed to come out the week of my birthday. Like, I was so like fucking jazzed. And then everything fell apart and comic book shops closed and all that jazz. Still a lot of them closed. So what is important about this, Gary Whitta and I are writing a comic book, or already wrote, actually, part of this Joker 100-page anthology. You know, we have a bunch of different pages in there with a really cool story. Monday is the last day that comic book shops can actually order it, though. So if you want it, you need to call or go to your local comic book shop. Let them know. Remember, a lot of comic book stores are doing curbside delivery. Plus, if you go to kindoffunny.com/Joker, in the description is the DC comic book comic shop tracker. That's telling you what is open, when it'll be open, stuff like that, that you can go through and do that. Of course, it is on Comixology if you'd rather do that. This all comes out June 9th, the Joker Super Spectacular issue 1. So yeah, there'll be a lot more about it before then.
Yeah, thank congratulations. It's like a dream come true situation, I imagine.
As dude, 100%. DC fan. Oh my God. And that's what I think I mentioned it on Instagram, right? Of like, you know, as somebody who, if you watch the comic book club, you know how much I gush about Tom Taylor. And like, Tom Taylor is one of the announced people who wrote something in there. And it's like insane that it's Scott Snyder's in there. It's Scott Snyder and Tom Taylor and Greg and Gary. You know what I mean? Like, there's a whole bunch of other creators and a whole bunch of different people in there, but we're super excited. Yeah. June 9th, you can get that. Again, the Joker, I keep saying super spectacular. Hold on, let me bring up my Instagram because it's actually got the thing in there. Because you know how it is. It's you're probably not familiar with it. For all their big things now, they do these big anthologies. Like, and if you, again, Comic Book Club, if you watched it, it was, they've done so many great stories for Superman and Batman and stuff. And it's some of my favorite stuff because it's out of continuity. You don't need to know anything. You just need to know who Superman is, or in this case, who the Joker is and Batman is. So it's the Joker 80th anniversary, 100-page, super spectacular, issue 1. But if you said the Joker anniversary book, everybody would know.
I can come into it and read it fine without having any
100%,
of like Batman stories or anything like that.
Yeah, so like what I love about these things is that they're just anthologies, and that's why it was so fun to do it, where they get different writers together to come in and be, or different writers and artists to come together and like, cool, you have 9 pages, what story would you tell? And you pitch what you would tell, and then if they like it, they greenlight it and you get to go do it.
Wow, awesome. So
June 9th is a Tuesday. We're going to have a special Greg's Comic Book Club spoiler cast for that, where me and Gary can actually talk about everything we did and how we did, because we don't ruin the story, obviously. Even if you go to my Instagram or kindoffunny.com/Joker, it's just pages without dialogue. That way, nothing's spoiled. You don't have to worry about having the book ruined for you. But enough about that. Let's talk about, does Xbox owe you an apology? More game shows being canceled. And guess what? Horizon 2 is apparently going to look good, because this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show. Patreon.com/KindaFunnyGames. You can give us your questions, your comments, your squad up requests. I still want to say bad PSN names. It's always going to be there, Bless. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like when the doctor hits you on the knee. When's the last time the doctor hit you on the knee? Test your reflex.
Remember
that? Is that a kid thing or is that an adult thing?
It must be a kid thing, because I can't remember the last time a doctor hit me on the knee.
Kevin, you almost were a biologist. When do you get hit on the knee?
Well, I was a biologist. You know what I mean?
Studied
for several years.
Well, you studied it, but you didn't actually go out and practice it, right?
Yeah, you didn't get your biology degree. You do a bunch of like labs and stuff, so technically you are a bio. It doesn't matter. Anyways, I recently
when's the last time you hit somebody on the knee?
3 months ago, and they did it.
Mm. Yeah. To you? Or you did it to somebody else?
No, they did it to me. Why would I be doing it to someone else?
Kevin, if you were to tell me, Kevin, you were giving your family physicals in the garage, I would believe it. That's why. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Kevin, you do have the energy of somebody who would hit somebody in the knee.
Fair.
I've hit a lot of people in the knees. Right underneath has always been my favorite spot.
Try to pop that cap off. Yeah. Your squad of requests. Of course, if you go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, you can get the show ad free. You can get it with the exclusive post show we do each and every weekday. But if you have no bucks to toss our way, it's no big deal. You can watch live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. If you're watching live, you have a special job. Go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, roosterteeth.com, and listening on podcast services around the globe. Housekeeping for you. Take a deep breath. There's a lot of stuff happening. So first off, thank you to everybody who watched the Core stream yesterday with us. Remember, Core Games is the game where you can make your own multiplayer games. You make them with assets out of the cloud. You share them and people can play them immediately. Of course, Core Games, a big supporter, kind of funny. We were supposed to do a big thing with them at GDC where we revealed their game to the world. Then a pandemic happened. However, we've all pivoted. We did the stream yesterday. It's up on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. We had a great time playing it. It was me. It was Andy. Kevin was there watching. It was Jordan from Manicore Games. Go watch it just because it's a fun game and it's a cool thing. Go download Core, coregames.com, because it is free to do. But more importantly, even if you thought all that stuff and the sponsorship, like, yeah, Greg's just saying it, here's where it gets really interesting and why, again, the Core folks are really, really awesome. They surprised us with this yesterday. The idea right now, ladies and gentlemen, is they're doing a Kind of Funny game jam. So if you go to kindoffunny.com/game jam, you will go to the Core page and see that they are giving away $1,000 Amazon gift cards. They have different categories of games you can enter in. They're giving away gaming, PC gaming stuff. They're giving away t-shirts. But even if you're, so the idea there, sorry, is you go to the game jam and you make one of those categories, you make a kind of funny game, you put it in there. Basically think of the KFAF Photoshop's taken to the next level, right? Go make a game about Johnny Ace. Go make a multiplayer game where we chase around the milk mommy. Do whatever you want. Now, even if you're saying, I don't know if I want to play this free game and make stuff, for every game jam entered into this, every game entered in the game jam, they, Manicore Games, are going to donate $100 to our Extra Life team. So wow. I'm just saying, you can just copy games and change the name to Kind of Funny and publish them in accounts. You know what I mean? And it's there. You can go to kindoffunny.com/game jam. You'll see the information there. However, if you're like, I have no talent in creating games, it gets even better. If you go to Core Games Twitter, @CoreGames, they tweeted out the Let's Play we have up on YouTube right now. If you retweet it or favorite it, they will donate $1 to our Extra Life team. So again, at the bare minimum, I'm asking you to go to twitter.com/coregames, retweet our Let's Play that they put up, and help us raise some money for sick kids this year, as usual. Next on the hit list, Predator Hunting Grounds. We are doing another stream today, 3 p.m. Pacific time, twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. Obviously, we love playing this game. You should come out for it. It's a sponsored stream, of course. You should come out, see Nick do it. I think we're getting Joey off the bench for the first time. It's very exciting. However, also tomorrow, if you remember, we did a match where Al Tribesman, the Predator, showed up, our Patreon producer. That is going live on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames as well, if you want to catch that. Then, even more for you. Remember when I was raising money for the American Cancer Society and that raising it in the name of Mizzou in the collegiate tournament? It was like a giant March Madness bracket. We have gotten to the finals, ladies and gentlemen. I have carried Mizzou to the finals of the American Cancer Society Gamers versus Cancer Tournament. It is Mizzou versus UCLA. Of course, this is like Extra Life where you stream games and raise money through donations. Tomorrow, I am inviting you to the Millers 4 Mizzou Borderlands 3 party on Saturday night at 8 p.m. Pacific time. Jen and I are playing Borderlands 3 to try to guarantee a win for Mizzou in this bracket. We'll be giving away games. We'll be doing all that stuff. twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. 8 p.m. Pacific time, Saturday night, Borderlands 3, The Millers 4 Mizzou. Thank you to our Patreon producers, Mohammed, a.k.a. Momo, Blackjack, and the Predator, Al Tribesman. Today we're brought to you by Manscaped, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news.
He's broken.
What happened? This is why you should have gotten a dog. Blessing. We do a little show called PS I Love You XOXO. As that show has been percolating here in its second volume, as we've been getting our, you know, bearings on what we want it to be, you did this thing where you pivoted X's and O's, which is how we open the show, to where it's basically a question and we have a discussion about it, right?
Yeah.
I flip it on you today and ask the question before we get into this. Does Xbox owe you an apology? Of course, ladies and gentlemen, yesterday was the Xbox Inside Xbox event, right? They're going to show you all this next-gen gameplay. They're going to do all these different stuff. People were mad afterwards, right? Mad that the Assassin's Creed gameplay trailer wasn't really a gameplay trailer. Apparently, then, I missed most of this, but they were mad that a lot of the trailers were more gameplay and stuff. This has led to an interesting moment where I feel like both Xbox and Ubi, to an extent here, are hat in hand apologizing to it. So we're going to start with Woggerman. That's right. Making his second appearance in as many weeks on this show, Woggerman over on Twitter, who it turns out is a big Kind of Funny fan. And I didn't
really,
when I mentioned it and laughed at his name, because Woggerman's a funny name, he tweeted at me about it and told me the whole story and then started, he's like, I'm upping my Patreon pledge. I'm like, oh my God, all right, you're rad. However, Woggerman keeps getting the scoops. Yesterday, Woggerman, in the face of everybody being angry, screen grabbed what they Xbox initially promised, highlighted some stuff, and put this to it. They, Xbox, stressed the Inside Xbox event would have gameplays, trailers, and sneak peeks. Not just gameplay, like many outlets and YouTubers are saying. It was exactly what it was. Bright Memory Infinite, Second Extinction, The Ascent, Scarlet Nexus, Call of the Sea, and more had gameplay. That obviously leads to a bigger discussion, but then Aaron Greenberg, of course, from Xbox, friend of the show, who's done Kind of Funny stuff before, and of course, kicked it off with his giant Xbox Series X fridge yesterday. He responded to Woggerman and said this: had we not said anything and just shown May Inside X, and just shown May Inside Xbox show like we did last month, I'm saying that right. Had we not said anything and just shown May Inside Xbox show like we did last month, so it means where, you know, you just drop it and here it is. I suspect reactions might have been different. Clearly, we set some wrong expectations, and that's on us. We appreciate all the feedback and can assure you we will take it all in and learn as a team. And then he did prayer hands emoji in the heart. That's enough right there to have a conversation. But then this also happened. Ash, over the creative director of Assassin's Creed Valhalla, Ash Raf Ismail, put up this tweet. Hello all, red heart emoji. You rightfully expected to see more today. We have a long marketing campaign ahead of us. You will see in-depth gameplay and get a lot more info about the game. Thank you for your excitement and passion. Be patient with us and be kind. It will be worth it. Slightly smiling emoji face. I like that when I put the emojis in here, they tell me exactly what they're called. So I just don't get, I don't want to say it was a smiley emoji when it's only a slightly smiling
emoji. Slightly
smiling. You know what I mean?
That makes sense. It's facts.
Blessing. I've seen lots of different articles and headlines today talking about how Xbox apologizes for this. You know what I mean? Here's how they're reacting to the reactions. Where do you come down on this? First off, nobody's like, I'm sorry. Nobody's saying, I'm sorry. We fucked up. We lied to you, right? Like, it's being a bit blown out of proportion. But was this a needed response from both of them? Both camps, UD and Hex?
I don't think it was needed. Like, a response doesn't hurt, for sure. Like, especially when you come out and underwhelm. I look at the Xbox event that happened yesterday, right? Like, I think for the most part, it was disappointing because, you know, you look at the tweets, right? Like, Woggerman here mentions that they said the event would have gameplay, trailers, and sneak peeks, not just gameplay like many outlets and YouTubers are saying, right? I then opened up the Xbox Twitter here in a different tab, and I'm looking at some previous tweets they made about the Inside Xbox that happened yesterday, right? And there's this tweet from May 6th that says, and this is before the event, right? This is the day before the event, that says, tomorrow changes the game, or rather the games do the changing. Watch hashtag Inside Xbox at 8 a.m. Pacific time for a first look at next generation gameplay for the Xbox Series X. I'm then scrolling up to another tweet, and this was right before the Inside Xbox, right? That is, and this is May 7th from at Xbox on Twitter, that says, it's time for your first look at next-gen gameplay from our global development partners with the Xbox Series X. Boot up the show and take everything in, right? And, like, you know, They might have said some, and I'm not sure exactly where they gave the full layout. It must have been like during their initial reveal of the Inside Xbox, where they said like gameplay, trailers, and sneak peeks.
I can read it for you because Wagerman's tweet here from 18 hours ago has the screenshot he's referencing, right? For the Xbox 2020 May update, we will focus on giving you a first look at next-gen gameplay, trailers, and sneak peeks from a wide variety of publishing partners and independent developers across the globe and industry, including Ubisoft's recently announced Assassin's Creed Valhalla, and hear from the game creators about what they're doing with their games on Xbox Series X.
Yes. And so I think it's a thing of, I don't think Xbox or Ubisoft necessarily lied, right? Like when we talk about Assassin's Creed gameplay, like technically what we saw was in-game footage, right? Like it's not like it was like a cinematic trailer. It was footage from in-game, which to them probably means gameplay, even though I think for us, our expectations of what we expect when we hear the words "we're gonna get gameplay" is different, right? We expect behind the back, seeing gameplay mechanics.
Here's the HUD. We're into a menu. This is going on.
Here's the HUD. Yeah. Here's the menu. Here's the upgrade systems. All these things. None of what they said here in terms of their communication leading up to Inside Xbox is factually wrong. Like they didn't wrong anybody. They didn't do anything that was bad per se. But I think what it all comes down to is expectation, right? When you look at the two Xbox tweets that I read from their Twitter leading up to the event, both of them were pointing at next-gen gameplay. They didn't say trailers. They didn't say first looks. They didn't say anything like that. In those tweets, they say gameplay. And during their initial reveal of Inside Xbox, which you read, right, that was talking about the trailers, gameplay, and sneak peeks, they mentioned including our partners like Assassin's Creed, right? And so I think going into it, you expect that caliber of announcement, right? You expect Assassin's Creed, but you expect things on the same level of Assassin's Creed. And there wasn't really anything that was on the same level as Assassin's Creed, right? Like we got an EA game being Madden, but we didn't necessarily get anything that felt as big and as dynamic and as exciting as Assassin's Creed. And so it's hard for me to really say that we are owed an apology. I don't think we're owed an apology by any means. Like, you're allowed to come out and underwhelm. Like there's no rules against like coming out.
We're not going to sue you for false advertising.
Yeah, exactly. And nothing that happened here, I don't think, was necessarily false advertising. But I understand the idea of, hey, people were not satisfied with what they got yesterday. So let's come out and let's kind of smooth things out and let's kind of be open and communicative. Like that's the thing that Xbox, I think, has been doing really well over the last few months, but I think over the last few years, right, of coming out, having Phil Spencer as a personality, having Major Nelson as a personality, Aaron Greenberg, a bunch of people from the Xbox side of things, coming out and really communicating directly to the audience and being like, hey, like, yeah, like, you know, we suspected reactions might have been different, but, you know, we're taking in feedback so that we can do things better in the future. That's really all you can ask from them at this point.
100%.
What's done is done.
The question of do they owe you an apology? No, they don't. But I think it's great they said something. Where, because it is, it's that constant debate when something like this happens of how do you address it? And we talk about all the time that there's the vocal minority and that it does sway it, right? Where the negativity is so much more prevalent on the internet than positivity. And so as anyone creating anything, you have to get used to that and you have to try to understand when it is the normal thing of just people are being pissed because people are pissed, or it is the thing of maybe we did mess this up a little bit. And so, no, Xbox didn't owe you an apology, but it's awesome that Aaron said something. You know what I mean? Again, he didn't apologize because it's not like he fucking fucked your wife or something. It's that, you know, he came out and said, like, we didn't message this correctly. And this goes back again to your point that you just made that Xbox has been killing it lately of being people. And I think this goes so right back to the core of what Phil Spencer tweeted the other day, right? Of like, or was it Aaron actually who tweeted? I forget. Well, somebody from Xbox tweeted that we've heard you. You want transparency. You want authenticity. That's what you're going to get from us. And that goes both ways of we're going to tell you all the exciting stuff that we can tell you when we can tell you. But it also goes to, hey, you know what? All right, we've heard you. And it was, you know, pretty, I think. I definitely saw some people who were like, oh, no, this is great. And I did like it. But I saw the majority, it seemed like, being like, I think Brian Altano put it best, right? Of like, I wasn't underwhelmed and I wasn't over, I was whelmed. Like it was like something that happened, right? Like it didn't knock my socks off kind of thing. And so I think to see that kind of reaction so prevalent, it isn't a good thing coming out and being like, hey, like we hear you. All right. Like we're going to learn from this. Cause again, I made a joke about it, but I was serious, right? Of like when we watched the Assassin's Creed trailer and it ended, I said something to the effect of like, that wasn't game. They bamboozled us. Like, When this is as bad as when on Up at Noon, I said I was going to debut Walking Dead footage, and it was 2 seconds in a trailer. I was making a joke, but it was serious. Of Telltale at the time told us that, hey, Up at Noon is going to have the debut of the Walking Dead game. I'm talking season one, Lee and Clem. You'll get the first trailer, and it'll have gameplay footage in it. And we're like, great. And then we got the trailer, and it was like, fuck, there's one shot of this that seems like it's actually in control, right? But at that point, we were out of the station. Everything was being promoted that way. What do you do about that? And so it was very the litigious, like, well, you know, technically, ladies and gentlemen, you can see the gameplay. So it checks out that it's, you know what I mean? And like, yeah. Luckily, people were just excited about The Walking Dead and didn't care about Up at Noon. So nobody really got mad at us about it. But this is a different thing, right? Where you're talking about, like, here's your first major look at next gen. We're talking about how this is going to go crazy. Ah, here you go.
Yeah, and in defense of the Inside Xbox yesterday, right? Like I was underwhelmed by it, but you know, to Wargaming's point here in the tweet, right? When we're talking about gameplay, Bright Memory Infinite, Second Extinction, The Ascent, Scarlet Nexus, Call of the Sea, and more had gameplay. Yeah. And technically, that's next gen gameplay, yeah. Right? Like they delivered on their promise of next gen gameplay. I think also what it comes down to is that I don't think we're in the mode yet where we understand what the hook of next gen is in terms of how it's going to be advertised to us, right? Like we hear the words ray tracing, we hear SSD, and we kind of understand what that is going to mean for how games are going to change, right? Like we understand that means like less loading screens. We understand that means like more dynamic world design, right? Like you don't have to necessarily hide things behind like an elevator or like a crevice and things like that, right? Like the way that games are going to be made are going to be different, and you expect like games are going to look slightly better. But I don't think it's going to be a thing where it's like it's not going to be a PS2 to PS3 jump, right? I don't even think it's going to be a PS3 to PS4 jump. Like what we're going to get for this generation, I think in terms of visuals, is going to be a lot. Like a lot less dynamic than we've seen in the past.
The nanobiologist writes into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Also, and you're wrong, he points out that it was Phil Spencer that talked about transparency. But now for his question. Hey, Blessing Greg. Yesterday, the biggest point I saw/heard about the Xbox event was, quote, those games didn't look next gen. The games looked like current gen or 360 games. So what is next gen supposed to look like? This debate caused a lot of anger and frustration online, and especially in the Kind of Funny Twitch chat yesterday. Parentheses, trust me on this one. Should we expect that big jump in graphics quality that we saw from the Xbox to the Xbox 360, or more detail from the Xbox 360 to the Xbox One? Or will all the changes be behind the surface, like more detailed AI, more expansive worlds, no loading screens? I just think that if people are expecting 4K/8K graphics going into the next generation, they will be extremely disappointed as we get more and more trailers, especially while we're viewing them as streams and not to their true native environment.
I mean, go for it.
No, okay. I think you already started down this path and you're right. And I think we've talked about it here and there on different shows. It's kind of like that, you know, shotgun approach where we're like, it's saying a million different things, but not talking to the specific question. And I think, yeah, this generation we're coming into, the passing of Xbox One to Xbox Series X, PlayStation 4 to PlayStation 5 is incremental. I believe that wholeheartedly, yep. At least at launch, especially when we're talking about smart delivery and cross-platform and games that are coming out both ways. And that's not unheard of by any stretch of the imagination, right? PlayStation 2 ended with God of War 2, not literally, but you know what I mean. And that game looks dramatically different than Oni. Some other early ass PS2 game, right? And so it's the same way here where Last of Us Remastered looks great on the PlayStation 4, but Last of Us Part 2 is going to fucking kick the shit out of it. And you need to talk about years and not just jumps. I think when we do start getting the games that are, okay, this is a pure PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X game, you're going to jump in and yes, it's going to be all the bells and whistles and loading screens and yada yada, but then it's going to be things like how the grass moves, how this what you're not seeing pop in as far. Like that's what it is games already look so good. We take that for granted that you think you're going to get another NES to SNES or SNES to N64. Like that isn't going to happen anytime soon because we are incremental. We are PlayStation 4 Pro and, you know, the Xbox One X, those were another move towards this, and now we're making another move again where I don't think it's this giant jump.
Yeah, and I think that jump I think it's going to be a very difficult thing, if not an impossible thing, to illustrate during this launch time of these next consoles, right? Like, it's hard to really display how much the next consoles can do for visuals, right off the bat, right? Especially like when we're at a time where like not everybody has access to hardware that can like deliver on ray tracing or like 4K, or like none of us really have 8K, right? Like these are things that we're probably gonna see, like you said, like later in the generation.
Yeah.
But to the nanobiologist's question here, right? Like nanobiologist mentions the changes that are behind the surface, like more detailed AI, more expansive worlds, no loading screens. Those are actually the changes that I think are more exciting than graphics alone. Right, like I'm super 100%. Super excited for when games take advantage of like making the worlds bigger or more open, you know, because of the hardware.
This week I've been playing Odyssey and Borderlands 3, and both of those have obviously vital fast travel systems. And sitting on those load screens long enough to open your Twitter, it's like, fuck, dude. I daydream about either if I could cross save to Stadia and it was quicker, or when we get here, right, and all this stuff is happening, and it's going to go, you know, knock on wood, lightning fast, and be right there, and you're not out of the game while it loads up the next thing you need.
Yeah, exactly. Like I can't wait for that for those jumps. Like those are the things that I'm looking forward to the most.
One more question before we get out of here. BJ Bernardo says, hi, y'all. Does removing the expectation of seeing gameplay change your mind about yesterday's Inside Xbox? Is the biggest lesson for Aaron Greenberg and Microsoft here, quote, don't advertise something you can't deliver? Or does a lot need to be fixed before June/July? Thanks, BJ.
I think the biggest lesson is just managing expectations, right? Like if they came out with this Inside Xbox and it was, instead of hyping it up for a week and like Jeff Keighley attaching himself to it with Summer Game Fest and all this hype building up to it as the first look at next gen gameplay from Xbox, right? Like if they came out the day before or 2 days before and they're like, hey, we're having an Inside Xbox, and didn't necessarily like hype it up as this big event, you know, I think it would have been different. I think we would have came out of this being like, wow, that's one of the best Inside Xboxes that we've had.
Sure.
Because like if you take this one and compare it to all the other ones that have happened in the past, like this Inside Xbox has had the most exciting announcements and exciting cool. showcases. But it is because of all that hype that you then are underwhelmed by it.
And I guess it's, I thought it was pretty clear personally, the way they hyped it and talked about it, that you weren't going to get Batman. You weren't going to get another Monster Hunter or something. You know what I mean? Like I thought when they made it very clear, I thought of the way they were phrasing it. And again, it's, you know, word salad, mumbo jumbo, you don't want to say our smaller third-party partners, right? But the way they were phrasing it, I expected this caliber. I think what sunk them on this was the Assassin's Creed gameplay trailer. And again, whether that's on Xbox or it's more on Ubisoft, who did say gameplay trailer at that, you know, Inside Xbox on Thursday, like that's how they ended their debut trailer. So we all thought, oh, you know, it's the 1-2 punch kind of deal. To get there and not have that, and have that be the last thing, and have so much expectations... Even if you came to that show blind, from pretty much the very beginning, they're teasing that they have Assassin's Creed at the end of it. And so it was like, oh, fuck, yeah, okay, great. This is what I'm waiting for if you don't want to just see and learn new games. I think, honestly, seeing gameplay only mattered to Assassin's Creed. Outside of that, the rest of the games, some of them stuck with me, some of them didn't. I was talking to Jen today on our walk, and it was that thing of like, all right, which one was Ascent? You know what I mean? Like, they're all like these horror games that kind of had similar looks, and it was like, I of course remember Bloodlines and its weird Donkashane trailer. It's like, that works, you know, the pretty game of you on the beach or whatever. Okay, I'm with that. Like, that happens with any of these showcases we always talk about, right? It's always back to the Adam Boys commentary after one of the PSXs, right? Of like, you build these shows knowing that nobody will care about all 10 games. You want them to find two or three games they do care about, that do stand out to them, that do resonate.
Yeah, and I think it comes, and I've been saying this over the last couple of days, right? I think it comes down to, again, growing pains, right? Like Nintendo, them doing Nintendo Direct for what feels like forever at this point, they've found a good place to where they can just say Direct Mini and you kind of understand what to expect from it, right? Like that, them calling their Direct a Direct Mini doesn't then diminish the games that are going to be there, because they're still having like good announcements there, but you know not to expect like the big heavy hitters, at least like, you know, a barrage of them, right? They might have like a one or two big games at a Direct Mini, but for the most part, your expectations are managed. Here, Inside Xbox, like they set themselves up, right? They set themselves up as like, hey, yeah, we're gonna show gameplay from our third party partners, indies, and all that stuff. And to what you're saying, right? Like, you can look into that and kind of understand kind of the level of games they're showing, like what that's gonna be at the end. But I think for the wider audience, you just see next gen gameplay and you see Assassin's Creed attached to it, and you're like, oh snap, here we go, next gen's finally starting. But I mean, and I guess like, yeah, this is next gen starting, but not in the way that you'd, I think, expect from as somebody who's part of the wider audience.
Sure, that's fair. Number two on the Roper Report, we now have Nintendo Online numbers. This is Kevin at GameSpot. Yesterday, bless you, were talking about the, or 2 days ago, was it, the actual Switch sales that have come through. Now we have a better number on what's going on with subscribers. Nintendo has released its financial earnings for the end of its fiscal year 2020. The previous quarter was a very successful one for the company. Not only did they recently release Animal Crossing New Horizons and move more than 11 million copies in just 11 days, helping the Switch surpass 55 million units, but the Nintendo Switch online service also hit a new milestone. While Nintendo didn't share any firm numbers, the company revealed in an investor's call that the Nintendo Switch online app now has more than 15 million paid subscribers, up from nearly 10 million subscribers back in April 2019. Nintendo attributed part of its growth to Pokemon Sword and Shield and Animal Crossing, all of which offer online features. As previously mentioned, Animal Crossing New Horizons has been a remarkable success for Nintendo thus far. In the same call, the company confirmed that about 50% of the game sales were digital. Despite launching just 11 days before the end of Nintendo's fiscal year, New Horizons already earned a place among Switch's best-selling first-party titles. Plus, how are you feeling about best-selling Switch games these days?
I'm curious to see where things are going to net out, like say like a year from now, because Animal Crossing at this point has a really real possibility of hitting that number one spot, which is incredible. And I never even thought about it in this way, that Animal Crossing kind of works as one of Switch's like big online games. When they first were rolling out Nintendo Switch Online, I think, you know, there were the conversations of, all right, what do you launch this with? All right, like Nintendo doesn't necessarily have like, you know, they don't have a Call of Duty. They don't necessarily have a large catalog of games to really sell Nintendo Switch Online. Like, you got Smash, you got Mario Kart, but at a certain point, you got Splatoon, but at a certain point, that list kind of stops. Animal Crossing coming out and kind of and being a big hitter and being a game that brings people together in a bunch of different ways, right? Like, last night, AOC was tweeting about going over to people's islands, and you saw the interaction with Gary. Like,
did you see today's thing, too? Of like, her, like, she's like, her communications person is going to reach out.
Yeah,
Gary Witt is going to get fucking AOC on his goddamn animal talking show.
Insane. Animal Crossing has become this big online game for Nintendo in a way that where, like, whether or not that was with a broken ass online system, but whether or not like that's by intention or not, right? Because I imagine when they're launching Animal Crossing, online is a big component for them, and they're thinking about that as a core feature of Animal Crossing. But I think, even now, when you look at Twitter, the way that people are kind of coming together and, you know, making that work and playing the turn up game and all these different things, like, you know, I think now the scope of Animal Crossing as an online game for Nintendo has increased.
It's insane, dude. So ridiculous. And I love that it's doing that. I love that it's brought so many people together. So many, you know, if it's Danny Trejo or AOC or whoever the hell is playing this game, and just enjoying it and having a great time. Over on that Wikipedia list of best-selling Switch games, right, where we went to a long time ago at the launch of Switch, and we're debating where it would end up. Currently, it's at number 6, according to this. That puts it above of Pokemon Let's Go Pikachu, like we predicted easily, and then right on the heels of Pokemon Sword and Shield. According to this Wikipedia one, it's Pokemon Sword and Shield is at 17.37 million. Animal Crossing is at 13.41 million.
And that's, like, Sword and Shield came out last fall, right? And Animal Crossing just came out last month. Like, those are insane numbers.
Yeah, and I don't think it's gonna slow down anytime soon.
Yes, and it's not. And so, yeah, I'm very curious to see where things kind of net out from there, because, like, it's right at this point, it's kind of a race between those two games to see where they end up in like the top three.
Yep. Number 3 on the Roper Report, here you go. This is every hold on to your asses. Horizon Zero Dawn 2 will feature, quote, industry benchmark graphics. This is from Jake Bishop at Respawn First. It should come as no surprise that a PlayStation game is aiming to create industry benchmark graphics. One look at The Last of Us 2 trailer, and you can see what level of visual fidelity Sony has been able to achieve on PS4. One can only wonder what they will do on PS5 when Horizon Zero Dawn 2 comes out. Respawn First founder and lead editor Sikander mood, discovered a job listing on the official Guerrilla website that gives a few minor but interesting details about the sequel to Sony's 2017 hit PS4 exclusive game. Horizon Zero Dawn 2 will feature, quote, stunning environments, lush and stunning vegetation, and industry benchmark graphics. What's interesting is that they are not calling it Horizon Zero Dawn 2, at least not in the job listing. In the listing, the game is only referred to as Horizon. Last but not least, Horizon is created on an improved version of the Decima engine. Literally no surprises there at all. But
no, yeah.
I mean, like, I think that you call it Horizon to try to beat around the bush that it's the Horizon universe, and like that could include the old game, it could include new games, it could do anything.
Yeah, I mean, I think you could take this new story and probably apply it to literally any Sony first party game, and it would apply, right? Like, Last of Us Part 2 is aiming to have industry benchmark graphics for sure. Like, I'm sure the next God of War is also. But nah, yeah, like,
won't. Corey won't do this it.
You don't think he can reach?
Nah, he can't do it. Corey doesn't have it in him anymore.
That's fair. I understand.
Nick would say he doesn't have the stuff.
he ain't got the stuff. I'm curious. What do you think the next Horizon Zero Dawn game is called? Because do you think it's called Horizon Zero Dawn 2, or do they go like Horizon blank blank?
I think it's got a new subhead. Yeah, I don't think it's Horizon 2. I think it's going to be Horizon colon whatever. And they didn't do a colon on Zero Dawn, did they?
It was no, just they Horizon didn't.
Zero Dawn. I don't think Horizon, having the zero in there makes it so weird to say Horizon Zero Dawn 2.
Yeah, I'm with you there. Like at that point, it's just a mouthful, especially because that's like four words in the title.
But it does paint you to a corner, right? Because numbers always, not always, but a game with a number on it usually sells better because it is, oh, this is a sequel to something. It was already proven once. People already liked the first one.
What about Horizon New Dawn?
Sounds too much like the old one. It has to be clear at the start it's a brand new game, right? Hmm. Horizon Aloy's two-step, you know what I mean? And it's the Aloy's number two, and that goes to the co-op thing we were talking about earlier with
Roman. Oh, and then she's also two-stepping in the game.
Exactly. That's there's a whole dance mini game, the dance mini game to get your health back. Herman, hit me up. That's a free one for you. Number four on the Roper Report. This is an interesting one, Kevin. I need you to pull it up because it's more visual than anything else. The Detroit Lions. Usually we don't talk about NFL teams on Games Daily. The Detroit Lions announced their schedule in Animal Crossing. I saw it via Matt Piscatella, of course, one of the industry analysts we all follow here and talk about. He says, well, safe to say Animal Crossing New Horizons is a massive crossover hit, which, of course, we just got done talking about. But
yeah,
they made a custom Detroit Lions logo. They panned down, and it's Tom Nook coming out to say, we're here to announce the new Detroit Lions schedule. And then it's a video presentation in Animal Crossing of the villager running around in the Animal Crossing outfit, in their Animal Crossing Detroit Lions stuff, wailing on like the Green Bay Packers villagers, just like running around sleeping. It's adorable and crazy and such a weird, like, out of the blue, like, is the Detroit Lions fan base that like into Animal Crossing? I hope so. You know what I mean?
I think it's just the world that's just this into Animal Crossing. Like at this point, like, I think for anybody to see, like, gamer or non-gamer to see Animal Crossing on the timeline, it's not like a foreign thing anymore. Like the fact that like Chrissy Teigen, ALC, the Detroit Lions, Danny Trejo, like everybody's tweeting about Animal Crossing. It's gotten to the point where it's pop culture now. Like it's not. Like it's kind of surpassed just the gaming space.
On top of they in response to their own Twitter, they then put up the actual codes to go get the Detroit Lions jersey and hat that were being worn in the game trailer.
That's awesome.
It's fucking rad.
That's really awesome.
That's really cool.
Because I see like Tom Nook has like custom dialogue here.
Yeah.
Is that video editing or is that something you can do in game?
That's video editing. You can't do that in game. I think, they went through and filmed all this stuff and then gave it to an editor who went in and put in the custom text and did everything else. It's Tom Nook saying his normal garbo, not talking about the Detroit Lions.
Yeah.
Number five, this is what I call the less than shocking roundup. There's a whole bunch of stuff here. You're like, oh, okay. That's interesting. First off, COVID sucks. Both Tokyo Game Show 2020 and Paris Games Week have been canceled, of course. Paris Games Week was going to be in October. Tokyo Game Show was going to be in September. Both of those have now been officially canceled, which then has you immediately turn your eyes. If we're canceling Paris Games Week in October, and in Tokyo Game Show in the 25s or whatever it was, 23s of September. Mm-hmm. What are you waiting for, PAX? what are you waiting for, RTX? What are you doing? Why are you even acting like this is gonna happen?
Yeah. At this point, it must be like a facility thing of like
totally.
the convention center like they, for them to kind of get money back, I imagine the convention center would have to cancel, or the city would have to cancel it.
Yeah, exactly. Get out of their insurances and whatever.
Yeah.
I got more details for you from that. We talked about Aaron Greenberg and Ash's response, right? This is more like just, okay, that makes sense stuff from yesterday's Xbox game stuff. First, it was confirmed that boot up screen we saw at the front is the way the Xbox Series One X boots up. New sound, new logo, all that. Not new logo, but new transition into the Xbox logo. When it popped yesterday, we were all like, I think that is what it is. And then it was confirmed on Twitter after the fact. Yep. Destiny 2, Bungie has tweeted that they will, in fact, be on next gen. It just says Destiny 2 will be on next gen platforms, exclamation. More details to come. So no conversation about if that's going to be smart delivery. Is that something else or whatever? Nobody knows, but Destiny 2 will be there, everybody. So get hype. And then here's where it gets interesting in the conversation. Blessing. Eddie Oye Jr. about this. Bloodlines put out a press release that went in my inbox today, right? And it's not going to get to the third. When we get to the third graph, that's when I scratch my head a little bit. Here we go, though. Paradox Interactive and Hard Suit Labs have revealed that Vampire the Masquerade Bloodlines 2 will be heading to Xbox Series X and PlayStation 5. The reveal came with a new Bloodlines 2 trailer showing the Kindred's macabre?
Macabre. You're asking the wrong person.
Because I said macabre once, and the chat was like, what the
that's
fuck?
That's really wrong.
Macabre?
What is it, Kevin?
Macabre. Jen's yelling at me in French.
The R-E is silent?
Yeah.
Macabre. Okay. Dance between the living and the dead. Bloodlines 2 on Xbox Series X will feature smart delivery. Players who purchase the game on Xbox One will receive a copy of the game optimized for Xbox Series X at no additional cost. In addition, cross-generation character and progress saves between the two console versions will be available. In addition, cross-generation character and progress saves between the two console versions will be available. Okay? Mm-hmm. So that's interesting right there, Blessing. Because we had said this before, right? Everybody wanted to... Well, I'm not even going to get into smart delivery.
This falls in line with what I've been saying.
No, it doesn't. It goes the opposite way. Because they're making a point to say that as if it's not a feature all the time.
Greg, I don't want to make a big deal, but this proves you right and all those dum-dums wrong. That's all I'm saying. What proved me more right
was the podcast that I got pointed to after with Major Nelson, where he's literally like, oh, it downloads what you need and what you don't need, right? Exactly what Greg Miller said. Well, I digress. Greg, we'll see what smart delivery is when it comes out, everybody.
What they just said in the bullet point, though, is different from that, though. Because he's in the bullet point, they say, Bloodlines 2 on Xbox Series X will feature smart delivery. Players who purchase the game for Xbox One will receive a copy of the game optimized for Xbox Series X. We'll that makes it sound like it's a new, like it's.
This isn't what I thought was interesting. Here's the third graph, for real. Here's the third graph.
Yeah,
we'll share additional details about what Xbox Series X and PlayStation 5 support means for Bloodlines 2 at a later date. I find that interesting right after them talking about smart delivery, talking about the cross-save stuff we'll share additional details about what Xbox Series X and PlayStation 5 support means for Bloodlines 2 at a later date. Now, that is general enough that it could just be what bells and whistles these next-gen versions have. But it is interesting right after that to be like, are you giving us a glimpse that PlayStation 5 will have something like this in terms of smart delivery?
Oh, I see what you're talking about.
That's how I read into it initially.
I think that makes sense. Like at this point, I'm just assuming that PS5 has their own version of smart delivery.
Fucking better. You know what I mean? Then I had a Scarlet Nexus press release. This is, again, I think it's just more confirming all the different platforms. But leading video game publisher and developer Bandai Namco Entertainment America today announced Scarlet Nexus, a new RPG franchise developed by Bandai Namco Studios and led by former members of Bandai Namco Entertainment's acclaimed Tales of series. Announced for the Xbox Series X, Xbox One, PlayStation 5, or 4 console, which is, I don't know
why they would write it like that.
Written that way.
That's a weird way of writing it.
Announced for the Xbox Series X, Xbox One, PlayStation 5, and then in parentheses, or 4 console, and PC via Steam. Take on the role of this guy armed with talent of psychokinesis and explore the future.
Smaragi.
All right. City of New Haimuka. And uncover the mysteries of the brain punk future caught between technology and physical abilities.
I'm really excited for this game. I don't know anything about it aside from what we just read, but I'm very excited for it.
You liked the trailer a lot yesterday. And then The Ascent had this one too. Again, just confirming that it's on Xbox One and PC, which I wasn't sure if that came out because obviously we're so focused on Xbox yesterday. But it's Xbox Series X, it is Xbox One, and it is PC. Blessing.
Great.
I'm excited for you to get your hands on Scarlet Nexus and really find out if you like it better on the PlayStation 5 or 4 console. But that's so far away. If I wanted something more immediate, say what came to the mom and grop shops, where would I go?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily Show hosts each and every weekday.
Yeah. Out today, Emma, Lost in Memories on PlayStation 4, Fury Unleashed on PlayStation 4, Xbox One, Switch, and PC, Super Mesh on PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and Switch, Sin Slayers Enhanced Edition on Xbox One, Mecha Wars Desert Ashes on Xbox One, Megabyte Punch on Switch, Dark Burial on Switch, Stone on Switch, Megabyte Punch again on Switch, Feathery Ears on Switch, No Wait Hero on PC, Enemy on Board, PC and Mac, Bone Appetite, PC. That's Bone, B-O-N-E, like, you know, like a skeleton.
Oh,
Chirping Joel Friends Edition on PC and Mac. They've opened signups today for the public beta for Fall Guys. I loved Fall Guys at E3. Definitely check that out. And then Apple Arcade is launching the survival digital board game, The Other Side. Now, for new dates, it's a slash new date slash deal of the day. The Mullet Slayer is coming exclusively to Twitch Prime for Doom Eternal. This is going to drop on May 21st. Did you see this, Bless?
No, I did not see this.
It's the Doom Slayer with a beer gut and a t-shirt that's all expansive around the beer gut. And then he's got a mullet. And you can get that if you are a Twitch Prime member on May 21st. And speaking of which, if you have Amazon Prime, you are a Twitch Prime member. Not only do you get free goodies from Twitch Prime like this, you get a free 30-day subscription to give away to your favorite Twitch channel. We'd love it if it was us. Remember, they don't remind you to give it away. They just want you, they want you to forget and not use it. It would be awesome if you set a reminder in your calendar and gave us your Twitch Prime subscription. Again, maybe you're a podcast listener right now. It's super simple. You're driving your car right now. When you get home, go, hey, wait, I remember Amazon Prime. You go in, you make sure you're logged in, you search Twitch Prime, you link your Twitch account, you go to Kinda Funny Games, you give us the thing, bada bing, bada boom, you're good. Blessing.
Greg.
It's time for reader mail. You can write in, of course, to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, where you can get the show ad-free. And speaking of ads, Gregway, this episode of Kind of Funny Games Daily is brought to you by Manscaped. Flowers are blooming, the grass is growing, and it's time to mow your lawn. Thanks to our sponsor, Manscaped, you can trim the hedges below the belt safely and efficiently. I'm talking about ball trimmers. I hadn't read this ad yet, I don't think, this week. Maybe I had, I guess, but that is some quality copy right there. We don't need it, though, of course. Everybody here is using Manscaped. It's got that advanced skin-safe technology, but more importantly, what it is just a trimmer for your balls. And it's got a thing so you don't nick your balls, you don't catch your balls. It keeps your balls safe. How do I know? Ladies and gentlemen, I have nicked my balls before with different razors, and it is a pain.
No.
It is a pain in the ball. You know what I mean? That is a pain I don't wish on anybody. And literally, since we got the Manscaped deal, and I've been using it, and I've been using it for months now because Manscaped has been awesome to Kinda Funny. You should be awesome to them. Haven't nicked them once. Don't even have to think about it anymore. Because before you had to focus, and that's how you get into trouble. Your mind would start drifting. Porty would start doing something. You go to yell at him. You know what you mean? You nicked yourself. It's terrible. Don't do it. Manscaped is the only men's brand dedicated to below the belt grooming. They have forever changed the grooming game with their Perfect Package 3.0. Precision engineered tools for your family jewels. The Perfect Package 3.0 kit comes with the Essential Lawnmower 3.0, waterproof cordless body trimmer, and a ton of other liquid formulations to round out your manscaping routine. This third generation trimmer features a cutting edge ceramic blade to prevent manscaping accidents. Millions of balls are about to be nick free thanks to Manscaped's advanced skin safe technology. Inside the Perfect Package, you'll also get the Manscaped Crop Preserver, an anti-chafing ball deodorant and moisturizer. It's starting to get hot outside, and it's crucial your balls don't stick to your leg. That's what this stops. Blessing, it's got to be hot in that room, and you're wearing a coat for some reason.
It's actually not that hot in here.
It's hot here.
No, don't believe him. He runs super, super cold. He's always
cold. I didn't run super, super cold.
Sometimes it's like 80 degrees. I'm sweating hard right now. I've
subscribe to the Perfect Package.
You're sweating and hard.
New replacement blade refill for your lawnmower trimmer. Deliver your door every 3 months, making sure your trimmer is always hygienic and clean. For a limited time, subscribers get two free gifts: the Shed Travel Bag of $39 value, and the patented high performance anti chafing Manscaped Boxer Briefs. This is the perfect package for your perfect package. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code GAMES20 at manscaped.com. Do yourself a favor and use the right tools for the job. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code GAMES20 at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use the code GAMES20. It's spring cleaning, baby, and your balls will thank you. Blessing.
Greg.
Alex Brown writes in to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, just like you can, and says, hey, Blessing and Greg. With many finding yesterday's Inside Xbox underwhelming, do you think Sony will come out swinging and do a full reveal of the PlayStation 5 alongside possible first-party announcements such as Horizon and Spider-Man 2? And obviously, clearly, the most anticipated of all, Knack 3. Or do you think Sony will show sometime soon once they are ready? Bless. Xbox has been vocal, right, in terms of Xbox 2020. There's going to be an event now every month. There's third parties. We know for a fact in July it's going to be first-party games. You assume June is going to be, here are the actual details about the console and how much it costs and yada, yada, yada. Do you think PlayStation will look at what happened yesterday or look at this thing or even what they were planning beforehand? Is PlayStation going to do something similar, or are they going to do something more traditional and do the, here is the PlayStation 5 event?
I think it depends on what you mean by traditional, because I imagine that, I mean, given the state of the world we're in, right, they're going to go digital, which, like, that alone is going to be kind of non-traditional for what we've gotten from console releases in the past. But yes, I think in terms of their cadence of their announcements, I think it will be more of a traditional type thing where it is like everything's more contained into one stream, at least starting off, right? I think the big coming out party for PlayStation, for PlayStation games, is going to happen all in one event, right? And so, like, in one stream, say end of May, early June, I imagine you'll get a stream that will be, here's the box, here are the features, here are the first party games, here are the third party games, and all those will be packaged together in a way where it's meant to kind of get you hyped and get you excited for what's coming for PlayStation. And then from there, I imagine that there'll be those periodical periodic streams where they show up and they're like, hey, like, maybe like every couple months, or maybe it is every month afterwards, I don't know, but, you know, periodically they come out and they're like, hey, like, just as a reminder, like, PS5 is coming up, you know, here's a few more games that we have coming up for it. Maybe it is a state of play or something like that. But yeah, I imagine for their first blowout of the PS5, at least for their first showcase, it'll be more traditional.
I think PlayStation is going to stick to the traditional route. I think they're going to do one event to rule them all, and then after that, I think it is blog posts. I don't think we'll have another. I don't think you have a state of play after this thing. I think they come big. They do one giant big thing where it is the traditional. But I mean, this is why it's a prediction, I guess. And I guess I think they do one big thing and they stick to it that way. And I think that if they're already on that track, they look at yesterday, Thursday, and Xbox's response and go, oh man, good thing we're doing that, right? Like, I think if you like, yesterday was very much the vegetable meal, right? Like, people want the meat, they want the steak or whatever. And so if you put it all on one plate and give it to people, they're excited about it. Whereas if you give them just one or the other, well, if you give them one thing that is, you know, smaller games, smaller developers, not fully fledged looks at the game, that's when there's a more of a chance for a blowback. If PlayStation does one event and it is 20 titles and it is the PlayStation 5 price and date and what it looks like and all this jazz, like, then we're back to what we're talking about from the attaboy's method, right? Of like, here are the three things I'm excited about coming out of this.
Do you think that's the right move, given that we know that Xbox is going to be going monthly from here, right? If PlayStation comes out and they show up in June with a big event and then don't show up again, like, to the same metaphor, like the vegetable meal thing, right? Like, if Xbox gives us that main course and then follows it up with dessert monthly, and PlayStation doesn't show up with that, do you think letting Xbox kind of own that conversation leading up to the new consoles could be a mistake?
No. I mean, I think you look at it right now, like, I don't think they did themselves favors yesterday, right? Like, I don't think people walked away and like, oh, fuck, that's why I got to buy an Xbox Series X, right? And I think that if PlayStation come out and show their exclusives and do the thing, then through the rest of the summer, which, again, going off Jeff Keighley's, you know, Summer Games Fest or whatever, like, is going to be, it looks marked by WB doing their own thing, Capcom doing something, you know, Nintendo eventually, like, if it, or the Nintendo, forget that I said that doesn't make sense for me to go at this point. But if it is the third parties are showing their own things and doing their own things, and even if Xbox, I mean, outside of Xbox doing, here's what the console looks like and here's what our first party lineup looks like, anything else they show, you assume is coming to PlayStation as well, right? Like, you know, that we made it, or there was a joke, I know, when it initially happened, but it was it was Push Square, or was it DualShock?
Yeah.
It was Push Square. It was like PlayStation, you know, third-party PlayStation games about to be revealed at the Xbox event. Like, it was, people were joking about, making fun of them a bit on Twitter about it, but it's like, that's a real statement. Like, that's, and I look at the things this morning where I'm reading PlayStation 4 or 5 console. Like, if you're seeing the games and they're out there, I think, what is Xbox going to be able to do month to month? That is, I think, because Xbox and even PlayStation, but Xbox, and if they're going to do something monthly and be, hey, you know, we're being authentic and we're being transparent, then you figure, hopefully next month's is, here's what the box is, here's what the price is, here's how this goes. July's is, here are the games. And then what August would be. Here's how xCloud works. Here's the nitty gritty. Like, let's actually, for an hour, we're going to play around with the Xbox Series X and show you all the options and menus and things it can do that you couldn't do before and why it's rad. Like, that's all great and good, and it definitely would make you understand why the Xbox Series X is great, but I don't think it would diminish your excitement for the PlayStation 5 if they came out and had the Rockstar, we just crushed it performance.
I can see that. That makes sense.
You know what else makes sense? Squatting up.
What is that?
Squatting up. This is where one of you writes in to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Give me your name, your username, platform of choice, and why you need help in a video game. I read to hear the best friends come and find you, and everybody plays games together. Today, Alec Bobco needs help on Stadia. His Stadia name is AlBob, A-L-B-O-B, 875. AlBob 875 says, decided to give Stadia a try because why not? The free 2 months also helps. Not sure how much I'll actually use it, but add me anyway. If you're kicking around Stadia, why not add AlBob 875? Blessing. We ask people watching live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames to go to kindoffunny.com/you're wrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later. We crushed it. Nothing in here we need to worry about. A lot of editorializing. People want to argue about Garbo. That's not what this is for. Did we get a date wrong, a fact wrong? No.
How many of them were about smart delivery?
There was a couple here at the end where I had to delete. You know what I mean? I'm not going to put up with this shit no more. It's Friday, of course. We hope you have a great weekend playing games. Let's run you through. We'll be hosting next week. It's a normal week on paper, and we'll see how that sticks, I guess. Actually, it's not normal because I'm doing other stuff and I got moved around. However, I digress. Monday, Blessing and Tim. Tuesday, Blessing and Imran. Wednesday, Greg and Gary. Thursday, Blessing and Tim. And then Friday, Greg and Blessing. I have heard your calls. Somebody in the comments pointed this out the other day that Tim and I haven't hosted in forever together. We are trying to get that on the books, but we do so much work during the day that it's hard to figure out what day we could do the show together and not ruin the entire company. But we'll get there, everybody. Trust us. We have a post show to do on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Of course, that's where you can go to support the show, get your questions read, get your place in the old squad up, get the show ad free, get it with the post show we're about to do. However, if you have no bucks tossed our way, remember Kind of Funny Games Daily happens each and every weekday on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, roosterteeth.com, and podcast services around the globe. Again, you are not getting away from us, even if you're not following us to patreon.com. Remember, there's more Kind of Funny content here on Twitch today. I'm going over to do the What's Good charity stream for Destiny and help out Bungie raise some money. After that, there's a Predator stream, twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames at 3 p.m. Pacific. And then tomorrow, you can come to the Miller's Borderland 3 party, twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, 8 p.m. Help me raise money. If you want to just go donate right now and help me out, that'd be great. kindoffunny.com/Mizzou, M-I-Z-Z-O-U. Embarrassing how many people who call themselves Kind of Funny Best Friends didn't know how to spell Mizzou. Made me very angry because I wear the shirt all the time, Blessing, and I yell M-I-Z. You know what I mean?
Do you think they could spell Illini? No.
I think a lot of people couldn't even spell Illinois. You know what I mean?
I mean, a lot of people don't know how to pronounce Illinois.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a post show to do, but until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve you.